Lord, and have you teach us and reveal to us things we would never otherwise know. And so we thank you for that. And God, I just pray a special blessing on this service. I pray each heart would be open to receive. And God, you would speak to each person. Pray you just anoint me with the Spirit. Give me words to say that be honoring to you. And that, Lord Jesus, that we give you this whole time in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to, as you know, we finally finished James. Nobody applauded or okay, we finished James. Okay, so we've been about a year in James. So we have a Sunday before Easter, and as I asked the Lord and, you know, prayed about what to speak on, this is what he gave me. This is what he gave me, I believe. Look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13, verse 4. It says this: let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Now, this is a revelation to the world. I mean, you know, it's just all the nonsense that's going on. But we need to take special attention that this verse is absolutely true, but he is writing specifically to believers. He's writing to the church. He said, listen, you know this, and I'm telling you some things that you really need to know about marriage, and that you need to be an example of this. So he's speaking to us. He's speaking to the church. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at the whole picture of what God's telling us about it, and so we have an understanding of what God's mind and what he's saying. So, very clear, God disapproves of sexual immorality and will judge those who have sex outside of marriage. I mean, it's real, real clear as you read through the scriptures. Now, also, I'm just going to side note, I'm not going to touch this much. This also includes pornography, because pornography absolutely destroys the intimacy of marriage. And so, like I said, that's just something we should know. It's not, you say it's not harmful. It's unbelievably harmful to marriage relationships. Now, so when God's talking about sexual immorality and he talks to the church in Ephesians 5:3, says this: sexual immorality must not even be named among you. I mean, it's done. You know, it's not even something that should be any part of your discussions. Okay, it doesn't mean you don't talk about it, you don't understand. He's, but no, this is something that I totally abhor. Now, in the New Testament, because we always like the New Testament, you know, because the Old Testament is just laying out, you know, it's like, oh my God, you get to the New Testament, think, okay, we're finally in the love of Jesus, and we take a breath. But in the New Testament, God speaks of the evil of immorality 86 times. I looked it up, 86 times. So it's like, no, that just, it's I'm not happy with it. Old Testament, New Testament, I'm not happy with it, okay? 86 times he speaks about immorality in the New Testament. So, bottom line, marriage is to be held in honor. Now, that's something we need to keep that in our head when you're saying, what is God doing? You know, he's trying to ruin my fun. He, no, you don't, no, no, I'm not doing. Understand what I'm doing. What I'm doing. Marriage must be held in honor. So that's his main purpose. So it's main purpose. Then we can understand the other things he says. Now, as a result, so we can go through it, you know, we have this misconception of God and think he's a prude or something. But God doesn't have any issues with sex in the bonds of marriage. He has no issues with it whatsoever. In fact, when it says up here in Hebrews 13, he mentions the marriage bed. Okay, it's a euphemism for sexual intercourse. Okay, there I finally said it in public. That's an inside joke with me. Just not a subject I like to brooch. Anyway, so, but he said it. Okay, right there, he said it. So, God considers the physical side of marriage important and pure. This is the way God looks at it. God says, this is important, and it's pure within the bonds of marriage. God, and this is something we lose sight of, especially in the non-believing world, but even within the church. God created sex, and he intended it to be pleasurable. He did it. He did it from the very beginning. People have all these different ideas, this, whatever. No, God's behind this whole thing. He's behind this whole thing. And so it's real clear. If you don't believe me, read Proverbs. Read the Song of Solomon. It really is what he says. He created it, and he meant it to be pleasurable. That was his purpose. So, in fact, God commands a husband and wife not to withhold sex from one another. How many of you said, where's that verse? I'll show it to you. 1 Corinthians 7:3. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. Thus saith the Lord. I can see how you're going to put this verse on your refrigerator. Hermit, we're establishing that, saying, all right, God is pleased with this. He's pleased with this creation. He's pleased with the physical relationship within the marriage. He's pleased there. So now we got to look at why, we need to understand why God is so emphatically resolute against immorality and sex outside the marriage. So as much as he's happy with it inside the marriage, he is equally displeased, and a displeased is an understatement, about sex outside the marriage. Unbelievable. This keeps coming to mind. I had it in the message, and I took it away, and he keeps bringing it to the mind. So I'm going to just tell you and blame it on God, bring it to the mind, how displeased God is with sex outside the marriage. In Numbers, the Israelites were going along good, and then they just got all crossways with these pagan women. So one brought a pagan woman, and this is in Numbers, in his tent. They had a sexual relationship right there, like that. Phinehas walks in, and he drops a sword through both of them and kills them both. And it says Phinehas was declared righteous. Now, I mean, that's a visual. That's a visual. And it's like, okay, this is kind of serious stuff in God's mind. It's like, no, he is really taking this serious. He's taking the good part serious, and he is taking the bad part serious. So we need to pay attention and see how all this happened. Now, so what we have here, we need to understand why God's so against it, and why he personally, and he says this through Scripture, even the New Testament, well, he says this in Hebrews 13:5. He says it there too, that he will personally judge people who commit sex outside of the marriage. Now, we're into freedom. Amen? Okay, God is too. He speaks. But we're free, but he's not happy with this. All right? He's not happy. All right? You're free. He said, but there are going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences to this, because I'm not happy, and you're just totally denying me when you do this. And so God's having a struggle with giving us so much freedom. You know, it says in the Scripture, it says, now you have freedom. He goes, but don't use your freedom for immorality. Well, why would he say that? Because that's exactly what we would do. Interesting. So what he pulls, God pulls all this together. So let's look here, let's understand how God's view, okay, of the marriage and of the physical relationship. By the way, they go together. God created those together, and it's part of his picture. Well, we start with, I'm going to give you 3 points here that you can process with. Number one, God can, and by the way, we're going to use the word God. Some guy didn't think this up. I mean, God, this is God's view of this. Number one, God considers marriage sacred, and he considers sexual intercourse as an integral part of marriage. There, I said it twice. Okay. Listen to this. And it starts in Genesis 2:24. This is where it starts. God did it. Genesis 2:24. There's over here. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become flesh. Okay, don't make me say it again. One flesh. One flesh. And we know that how that happens, right? Okay. Marriage, so important. It's a crazy world. Marriage is not a man-made institution. It's not, okay? I don't care what you do, but it's not a man-made institution. God established marriage as sacred, and he created it for a divine reason. Divine reason. Now, we got number one. Here's number two. Now, this one, I'm not sure. This may surprise you. Number two here may surprise you, because what we're going to look here at number two is we're going to see how marriage, from God's point of view, now that's what we're looking at. People didn't make this up. We know this from the scripture, and so we know from God's viewpoint how God is looking on marriage, okay? Here's an insight that we have that we don't have any place else. Already? Going to pay attention? Number two, the union of the husband and wife in marriage is a physical picture, is a physical picture of the spiritual truth of the love, oneness, and intimacy that Jesus Christ established with the church when he died on the cross and he resurrected. He established this. This unity, he established it. Now, it will culminate when Jesus returns. It'll culminate. The whole thing will culminate. So, marriage is a physical picture of Jesus and the church, which endures for all eternity. You know, with me? Look at Revelations 19:7. End of the Bible, second to last chapter of the Bible. So God's finishing the scriptures. Look at what he says. He's done. Done with scriptures. Look what he says. Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice. It's all the heavens at the end of time. Let us rejoice and exult, for the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus, has come to his bride, the church, and his bride, the church, has made herself ready. That's how it ends. You ever wonder how it ends? You know, we talk about the end of the world and stuff when Jesus comes in. That's how it ends. Jesus, the Lamb, him, the husband, because now the church, his bride, has made himself ready for him. The whole thing was the church and Jesus. Whole thing. This physical marriage, you're sitting there, you get together, you know, whatever age, we'll just pretend you're young, you get together, you're 24, 25, you're just happy and see wonderful things, all your friends are there, and you're holding hands, and you pray, you know, and everybody's happy, you know, and so this is just wonderful, right? But you know what else happened? Believers in the heavens, Christ looks down and says, that's me and my church. Your wedding was a picture of Jesus. Jesus was there, and he goes, that's me and my church. That's me. That's the picture. That's how I feel about my people. And this, every time there's a wedding, it reinforces of me and my church. So it says in 19, finish the whole Bible. Now his wife, now the bride has prepared herself. It's all over. Ah, it's culminated. Everybody go, wow. Okay? Now the church is supposed to know this. The church is supposed to know this. And we also know God established this. Man didn't establish this. He didn't establish this at all. Well, even look, there's another verse here. Revelation 21:9. Just look at this. Revelation 21:9. End of the Bible. Come. I wish. Now, at the end, when you read this, there's angels and, I mean, there's a multitude of everything going on. He's saying this. Stuff happening. He goes, come, I will show you the bride. They're excited. You know who he's excited about? They're excited. There's the bride. You know who that is? That's us. I don't know if anybody's been that excited about me. You know, but oh man, I'll be in that group. You know, he's excited. He goes, oh my gosh, come, I will show you the bride, the church, the wife of the Lamb. That's what it says. So you back up a minute. Back up a minute. And you go, this is created. And the marriage, the unity, the oneness, the love. And I don't even know how to express the love and the unity and the closeness. Except, you know, the sexual intercourse is part of it, just because it's so, you can't imagine the oneness. See, that's it. And then you have sex outside of marriage. If God would cuss, I think he would cuss. What the blankety blank are you doing? What are you doing? Don't you have any clue of what is involved here? You don't have any clue how sacred the marriage is. You don't have any clue of what I think about marriage. What are you doing here? See, and God, in all our freedom, God said, I'm going to have to judge you. There's going to have to be consequences because you violated the marriage covenant by having sex outside of marriage. He didn't like it. Why? You're showing him dishonor about what he's done for the church. He said, you did that to me. That's what he said. Now, that's what God's saying. You did that to me. No, you know, we're just having a good time. He goes, no. You did that to me. See, that's what made him mad. I'm just saying God could get mad. So you go, oh my goodness. Now, so we see this. This is the marriage is an eternal picture of the oneness, intimacy we have with Christ. And running around. That's what you think of Jesus. That's what you think of Jesus. There's something, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. This is supposed to show me. Your marriage is supposed to show me to the world. I just thought we'd get a little house and have some kids and everything be fine. That's kind of big, show me to the world. No, that's how you show me to the world. That's who you are and that's what I am doing. It's like, you ever heard that before? That's what's happening. That's what's happening. And that's why he detests it. That's why he did. Well, I guess you shouldn't have done it and made people mad and this happens and all you know is that right, that wrong. He detests it because you did what you did to him. He detests it. Okay, number three. There's another third point here. Okay, this is kind of associated. But it drives home where we can have an understanding, where we have an understanding what's going on. We think, oh, God, he's, again, we go back, he just approved, you know, he don't believe sex outside of marriage, and, you know, he needs to loosen up. And he, Wait, no. You don't understand what's going on. You do not know what's going on. That's what God is saying. So he tells us. That's the reason this is to the church. He tells us. He tells us. See, so he goes on and tells us. Here's number three. Number three. God himself has established marriage. He has established the married relationship, including sexual relationship. And this gives us a hint. Now I put hint. This just gives us a hint. God establishes marriage and the relation, the sexual relationship, and it just gives us a hint of the depths of the oneness we will have with Christ for all eternity. Marriage and the sexual relationship. The whole thing. I can't explain heaven. I can't explain your relationship with him. I can't explain how it looks. But spiritually, it's something like the sex relationship and the closeness. That's the best I can do. Don't violate that. Only do that within the marriage. Because that's what it's about. See, this is what God is saying. Now, for all eternity. Now, here's another clue as you read the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33, it's all about the marriage relationship. So you read that. Use it, you know. In fact, this verse I'm going to use, I use this verse all the time. But first, verses 21 to 33 are all about the marriage, okay? But now I'm going to read this. We get a view, because this is a hint. We know the marriage relationship and the sex relationship is a hint of the oneness we have with Christ. Okay, look with that in our mind. Look what it says when talking about the sex relationship. Look about when it talks about the husband's love for his wife. Look at Ephesians 5:25. He says, here's the marriage. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. By the way, this is my favorite counseling verse. Guy come in, my wife said such and such. I go, so? She did this? I go, so? She said this? I go, so? I'm serious. And I mean, she may be a little bare, too. I mean, I've seen them just, some of these women just slobbering all over themselves, you know. Coming in upset. And he goes, oh, my God. And I don't care. I don't care what she's doing. And I said, this is on you, buddy. You need to step up. What do you mean? No, it's in the script. You got to step up. God told you to step up. He didn't tell her to step up. He said, you step up. He said, what do you mean? What verse is this? Ephesians 5:25. You love your wives like Christ loved the church. Well, I love her when she's nice. It's not what it says, brother. You love your wife like Christ loved the church. And you know what the Bible said? Jesus Christ died for us when we were yet sinners. You know, you got to love her while she's fussing mad at you and a sinner. He didn't say for her to get better, for you to love her. You got to love her the way she is. That's not fair. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. See, guys come in, they talk about male leadership. I said, that's it. They go, well, not that leadership. That's not what I'm talking about. I shouldn't go here, but I'll go here. I had this guy come in. It also says later on, it says, wives, submit to your husband. But see, that's not an issue. He's dying for you. He's loving for you. He's, you know, loving you like Christ loved the church. You go, oh, man, this guy's good. I'm staying with him. There's no problem submitting to him. See, it's the guy. It's the guy. Anyway, see, but this guy came into me years ago. He brought his Bible in. He slapped it down. And he actually pointed to two verses up. He says, wives, submit to your husband. And he threw that Bible down. He pointed at that. He said, I want you to teach my wife that verse. That's what he said. And I said, well, I said, first, we'll get to that verse. First, let me teach you this verse. He didn't like that verse. He wanted verse 22. He didn't want verse 25. I said, no, we're going to start with 25. Because 22 comes first. I said, no, we start with 25. You do this. See? And so, anyway, short counseling session. He never came back. But so what you do, but you see, but when you look at this and you take it, it says, husband loves your wife like Christ loved the church. Okay. And gave himself up for us. Okay, I love like Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? How did Christ love the church? He died for her. Well, what did he do before that? I mean, no, he died for her. Well, what's she doing? She didn't do nothing. He died for the church when they were still sinners. So she don't have to do nothing. See? And it's like, that ain't fair. I don't like this. You know, I've taught this class. I'm getting off course here. But I taught this class, and I've talked it to people. Know Jesus, people don't know Jesus, you know. Whole thing, I teach classes, couples, like this. Never, never, whether they knew Jesus or not, never have I seen a woman disagree with what I say. Never. I don't care who I'm talking. They don't disagree. Got it. I love it. I'm in. The guys are going, wait a minute. Across the board, they go, wait a minute. That's not right. You know, I had a pastor. He came and visited. I did that and talked to him. He left. He's left the service. You know, this guy's apostate. I mean, he's gone, you know. No, why he's gone? Because he ain't doing that. He's not, I'm not doing that. I mean, you have to die. You got to give up everything. You got to give your total focus. It has to be your total focus in life. I said, that's kind of what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. See? Yeah. And it says here, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. He died for her. And by the way, women love it. You don't even have to talk to submission. They say, oh man, they'll knock their door down. They'll knock the door down. Hey man, if submit thing's good, because he's loving me like Christ loved the church, I'm in. Oh, this is good stuff. You see what I'm talking about? Well, this is now we back up, focus back on here. It's Jesus says, this is how the marriage is supposed to look like. This is how the marriage is supposed to look like. And we've got the perfect husband with Jesus who gave himself for us, died for us, paid the penalty for us. He did the whole thing. And then we go, oh my God, I'm forgiven. Lord, I'll follow you. We respond. We respond. I am really getting off base. But anyway, on the last part of this, and I love it. And when you read this section, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. It never tells the wife to love the husband. Now, I mean, there's other places, but in this section, in verse 21 through 33, it never tells the wife to love the husband. Not once. And it tells the man four times to love the wife. I mean, what's right about that? That must be a misprint in the Bible. I mean, you know. Tells the man four times to love the wife. And it tells the wife one time to respect the husband. Well, I mean, you're getting off easy. What is that? You know, and you know why? You know why? I actually got a verse. I was reading it because I asked the Lord that. I believe the first part. I didn't like her second part. But it's like, okay, I'm in. You said it. I'll do it. You know, so I did that. And then I ran across this verse, and I thought, oh, my God. I would go, why don't you tell Linda to love me? I mean, that's the only fair thing to do. You know, and besides, she's wrong. You know, it's like, no, you got to love her. It's like, that's how I know. And I read across this verse, and it said, it's in 1 John. It says this, we love God because he first loved us. Oh, that's what happens. You love her. And then she responds and loves you back. See? He goes, yeah, I thought you knew that. I'm not going to write it down. That's a given. What are you, duh? You hadn't figured that out. Just do what I say. She'll respond. I can't believe you didn't know that. I didn't have a clue, God. Didn't have a clue. You know. Anyway, none of this is in my notes. But you see what I'm saying when you're talking about Christ in the church, and he, and you're talking about the marriage, and you're talking about sex within the marriage, husbands love your wives like Christ loved the church, you have the picture of the marriage. And it does say, wives, submit to this guy that loves you like Christ loved the church. You'd be out of your mind not to. Not to. Okay? Now, so we kind of got that, Ephesians. Pay close attention what Jesus says. Pay close attention what Jesus says in verse 32. It's the same, husbands love your wives like Christ loved the church. Now he says, in the same context, look, if you will, Ephesians 5:32. This is a profound mystery. This is profound. This marriage is a profound mystery. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. There you go. Revelations 19, Revelations 21, it refers to Christ and the church. It says it's all here. Y'all get it? It says it all here. We have, now we have a context, we have this reveals the divine majesty of marriage. Oh my goodness. This is how God looks at marriage, this divine majesty of marriage, and how important it is. And this is how he looks at it. He looks at it. But there's something else it shows. You ready? There's something else it shows. It also shows the absolute horror, the absolute horror of how sex outside of the marriage destroys the picture of Christ in the church. Sex outside of marriage, you're destroying the entire church. You're destroying everything God's trying to do by having sex outside the marriage. You're destroying. I created that for the marriage so you could see me. And you're destroying it. Do you see why God abhors it? You see why he abhors it? Well, you can't do that because mama get mad. Well, then mama may get mad. But that's not why you don't do it. Son, don't. This is destroying the whole meaning of Christianity with this, how you're having sex outside the marriage. Immorality destroys the beautiful picture of our eternal, intimate relation with Christ. I love Jesus, but I hate my wife. Son's out of here. Kilter, and I don't think it's God. Wait a minute. You know, let's have some marriage counseling. And if you come to me, we go to Ephesians 5:25. Because I find out he's out of kilter, always. All right. Now, again, I'm not letting you ladies off the hook. I've run across some bad ladies. I just want to let you know. Okay. But you still got to start with the guy. You got to start with the guy here. Now, and so when you see this, you go, well, then other things you say, oh, start making a little more sense. You go, so we're understanding God's mind and the whole thing of what he's trying to do in the scripture and telling the church. Listen how the Apostle Paul speaks to the people in Corinth that he led to Christ. Listen to how he speaks to them. He led all these people to Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:2. Paul says, I feel a divine jealousy for you, this church. I feel a divine jealousy for you since I betrothed you, promised you in marriage, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Now, how many of you read that and go, what is he talking about? That makes no sense. What's that? No, it fits in the whole picture. Is this what I'm doing? I'm presenting you. You're cleansed by Jesus, and I'm giving you to Christ, a whole new relationship. He liked that. Why are you doing that? That's what I did. I'm concerned, you know, because you are not grabbing hold of the relationship you have here. See, we are the pure virgin presented to Christ as our husband. Christ, Paul is saying, how can you destroy your intimacy with Christ by having sex outside the marriage? Oh, daddy doesn't like it. Oh, mama doesn't like it. Oh, my friends don't like it. What are you talking about, Tim? You're destroying your intimacy with Christ. That's truth. That's the truth. You're destroying your intimacy. You're not faithful to your wife. You're destroying your intimacy with Christ. Wives not faithful to their husband. They're destroying their intimacy with Christ. That's number one. It drives me nuts. But anyway, come in and hate my wife, and God told me to do such and such. I said, you hate your wife. God didn't tell you nothing. See, it makes counseling easy. You figure this stuff out. What but God said? I'm just telling whatever God said, he didn't say it to you. You don't know nothing. Linda has longer counseling sessions than I do. I don't. She tries to get to the bottom of the problem. I don't have time to get that far in the mess. See, now, so what you see here, it's like, it's amazing thing what we're seeing here. Now, I want us to take, and this is where, you get in the thing of thou shalt not, and I told you before, that never works. You know, it's like your kid, thou shalt not, and they go, watch me, I'll get it right, you'll never know about it. You know, see, that's not the way Christianity works. Christianity works out of a love relationship that's reflected in the marriage. And that all the way too, when you honor other people's marriage, you are being complicit in honoring Christ. You see what I'm saying? That's kind of the whole dynamic of how that works. And you can be complicit the other way too, you know. You know, by allowing sex outside of the marriage, it's like, well, you kind of got to draw a line here. But it's like, because we're trying to show the love of Christ and how he loves us in the church. Now, there's three verses I'm going to go over. And what's interesting about these three verses, they're one after another. Okay, so they tell us. It's a bing, bing, bing. Oh, now, and what's interesting about these three verses, I'm going to read them. I'll give a little commentary. I just can't help myself. But I'm going to read them. They don't need any commentary. I don't need to say one word about what these verses say. So this is what God is saying. This is thus saith the Lord, not what Wallace thinks. This is thus saith the Lord. But what we're going to see in this, I want us to take note of the horror. See, I didn't use the word sin of immorality. The horror of immorality. It's horror. It's just horror. Listen. Shudder. Because there's no explanation needed. You ready? Here's three. Number for the first verse. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Notice how it starts. Church, do you not know? What are you doing? Okay. You know. First thing it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a prostitute? Never. By the way, never is in the original language. It's never. Now, here's the thing about Christianity. We believe on Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins. Everybody go, well, good with that. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. We are forgiven. Amen. But there's a step two to this that happens whether we know it or not, or even if we understand. But we say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven. And I trust you that I'm forgiven. Then it says, he comes and he indwells us. And he changes us from within. We start acting different because he starts changing us, bringing things to mind. He lives in us. You got that? That piece is important to know. He lives in us. And so this is to the church. Christ is in us. Christ is in us. And this is why it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Because he lives in us. See, that's the purpose. Now, he lives in us, and shall I take the members of Christ and make them a prostitute? How do I do that? You have sex with her. And you bring Jesus into that relationship. Horror. Not only hates it, now you brought him in it. You're participating. You're making Jesus participate in that. I mean, things in the spirit world, God, he ain't happy. You just made Jesus, died for you, and you're making him participate in your sin. See, that's what it says. Let me read it again. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. How did he do it? He had sex with her. Came once. And he brought Jesus into that activity because he lives within the person. God goes, horrors, horrors. Okay, the next verse. Okay, there's horror. Sex outside of marriage makes Jesus a participant. It might help you to think about that. I'm going to have sex outside of marriage, and me and Jesus is going to have a blast with this prostitute. Kind of loses its joy, doesn't it? Well, I don't want to take Jesus into this. Maybe I won't do it because I don't want him there. I don't want to make him a part of her. I mean, reverses too. He's making a point. That's what it's saying. That is what it's saying right here. The whole thing. How can you do that? Can you see God going, what are you doing? Do you not know? Okay, next verse, hurrah, verse 16. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 6:16. Or do you not know? He said it again. Don't you know? He's talking to the church. Don't you know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two become one flesh. You absolutely destroyed the thing I set up in Genesis in 2:24. I never was for it. I never was behind it. And you're violating the first thing I ever set up. Do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? Now, we're excited about the marriage relationship. Well, that does, and that's it. That's a glory to God. That's a glory to God. See, so what we have here, this is quoting Genesis 2:24. There's no other in God's mind. It's not sin. It's an absolute horror. Sin doesn't put enough emphasis on it. It's an absolute horror. In their immorality, Jesus has been made one with a prostitute. And God's going, how can you do that? Now, the reverse works also. He's just giving one example here. You see what I'm saying? How can you do? Well, that's it, and it's the fourth one down, and don't do it. No, how can you do that? That's what God said. How in the world? You have nothing with me if you do that. Don't say you have something. You know, I told you about the one. I've repeated this 10 times, but it still to this day blows my mind. Guy comes in. I mean, it's like church works great. Guy comes in, and he sits there, and he's having an affair. And we address it, and he talks to me, and he tries to tell me how God said it's okay to love two women. You know. Now, being the counselor I am, I think I hit the desk, screamed at him, and ran him out of my office. Okay, I don't have time for that nonsense, you know. Yeah, he said, we went to another church. I'm going, I hope so. They call me, I'm going to tell them. This guy. Now, I'm being honest, I didn't handle that right. That was totally improper for me, and that was my sin. I had to deal with that. But I'm thinking, you've got to be out of your mind. Have you ever even looked at the Bible? To come and tell me you can love two women like your wife and it's okay and try to convince me that. Anyway, but I didn't make that up. That actually happened. So what we have here, in their immorality, Jesus has been made one with a prostitute. Can you comprehend that? I need a nod. Can you comprehend that? You have sex outside of marriage. You make Jesus one with a prostitute. Now again, this is one example. I mean, you flip around the wife and you know, husband, you know, who's the believer, who's not the believer. But the point of it, that's the dynamic that God's looking at, and he abhors it. He abhors it, you know, and there's going to be consequences for it. He said there will be consequences. Now, in verse 9, we have an understanding of 19, or continue, now we skip the verse, but in 1 Corinthians 19, he gives us the explanation. Don't you know? He starts again. Don't you? He starts all of these verses with, don't you know? Don't you know? You're supposed to know. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people in the church. Don't, what are you doing? Don't you know? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body, you believer, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you? Do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. What are you doing bringing me in? You're not your own. You're supposed to come to me and follow me, not take me into this. You're not your own. You're to follow me. Again, you are the temple. Temple, what does that mean? Our body, Jesus came to live within us. He made us a temple. What made us a temple? Jesus living within us. See, that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you've got. You are not your own. We are not our own. We belong to Christ. Sex outside of marriage gives opportunity to the devil, grieves the Holy Spirit, and brings the wrath of God. I'm just going to tell you, and I don't know, but you're stepping into, you know, you may, we'd be forgiven, I trusted Christ, and our sins are washed away, but when you commit sex outside of marriage, you're stepping in to the judgment of God. God says, I'll have to deal with this. I'll have to deal with this. And that's what he's telling us. There'll be some sort of earthly consequences to this. Okay, so that's terrible. But even all of this, given the devil of, you know, opportunity and grieve the Holy Spirit, even worse, God abhors the fact that we would make Jesus one with our immorality and totally destroy the picture he intended for Christ in his church. Huh. What am I talking about? Sex outside of marriage. He creates sex to be done in marriage. Not high five, hey, we're married, and have sex. Sex, marriage is a covenant relationship. It's a covenant relationship. And you shouldn't have sex with anybody unless you have a covenant relationship. With some marriage. This is what God said, because that reflects him. Your marriage people, how do I wish you witness Jesus? Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your marriage. The intimacies of it, the love of it. You know, and you're a walking witness. You know, it's like you can be a walk, just being happy. You know? Hey, my husband irritates daylights, but all right, we'll work through it. We'll learn something. My wife drives me crazy, but we'll work through it because there's something bigger going on, and God's going to teach us, and we're going to walk through it. And as we work through it, we're witness to Christ. That's the way God said it works. That's why he said, that's exactly why he says it works. Now just think back, and this is why God said sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage, is never if to even be named among you, not even an infant. Not even. Why? Because it destroys the church. Because it destroys the church. So what do we do? It's like, oh, Lord, what do we do? Number one, okay, well, number one, honor Jesus. I tell you what, you go a long way right there. Honor Jesus. Well, why do I honor Jesus? He paid the penalty for my sin. And I am forgiven. Amen? Everything. All the past, anything we have, he said, and the Bible says, it's like he wrote them on a piece of paper, put them up on the cross, and he nailed them to the cross, we back up, and they're gone. They're gone. The Bible says that. It's not, and he uses that term. They're nailed to the cross. So any of those sins, oh my God, what do I do? Just write them on a piece of paper, you go, you nail it to the cross. Jesus paid the penalty for that. We're totally forgiven. We're clean. We are totally
clean. You know, when the Apostle Paul told those people, "Well, I presented you as a pure virgin to Christ," who do you think he was talking to? He's talking about the ultimate, one of the most sinful places in the Roman Empire. And these people were a mess. And he shared Christ with them. They received Christ. Their sins were nailed to the cross. He goes, "Now you're pure virgin, cleansed by the blood. Now just walk with Jesus." See? Just walk. It's nailed to the cross. It's just nailed to the cross. But also remember that. Remember, well, if you're involved in like whatever mess, the Bible says repent and trust Jesus. Now, what does repent mean? You know, it means turn. Okay, you turn from it. Okay, you repent, you trust Jesus. Ain't that hard? It's not that hard. Okay. And but you look at it, you ought to repent, turn, run from this. Because God is not happy with it. Jesus says, "Come to me, and I'll take your sexual immorality and nail it to the cross. You're good. You're good. It's that simple. You're good. I paid the penalty. Just trust me. I'll take you from here. You're good." And he summarizes it: honor Jesus and don't have sex out of marriage. Okay, that's a good start. That's a good start. John 3:16. Love this. And when you look at these verses, like everybody knows John 3:16. But when you look at it in context, what we talk about is, well, this is really a big deal, John 3:16. Because God looks at us, his church, his believers, the ones he loved. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish." God said, "I'm doing everything so you don't perish. You don't perish. And I love you and for all eternity. I paid the penalty for your sins. And I love you so much." Let's see. I'm going to give an example so the whole world can see. It's the marriage. That's how much I love you. All God's people said. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, too, I mean, it's so good to understand. You're not trying to prohibit anything. You're just trying to show how to recognize what you've provided for us and how you want us to enjoy it and just enjoy it to the fullest extent possible, the way you created it, the way you meant it to be, and to have that unity with you also, that you love us more than we can imagine. So we thank you for that, God. We say, let us remember that our sins are nailed to that cross. And we love you, God, we love you because you first loved us. You died for us. And you said, "Please trust me. Please trust me. I nail your sins to the cross." So God, we give thanks to you. And Lord, I pray that, you know, no one would leave here condemned, or no one would leave here, you know, not feeling the love of Christ, because all of this is through the love of Christ. He paid everything. He paid the penalty. Nothing is held against us. Not one thing. If we just trust him. If we just trust him. "Dear God, I believe I'm forgiven. I trust you." And he says, "You trust me. You have a home in heaven." And we give thanks, dear God, to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the God's people said, amen.